The following is a presentation of Remnant.
Light of the world. Hey, this is Jeremiah from Remnant Church. Thanks for listening to us online. You know, we want you to be encouraged and filled with hope through your experience as you listen in. This life can be complicated, even confusing, but it's our hope that you catch a glimpse of God's unconditional love for you and His purpose for your life. Thanks for listening in.
As we open God's Word together this morning, I thought I would begin this message by sharing the story of a missionary. This story might be familiar to some of you. At the same time, it's hard to believe that this took place 70 years ago this year. Jim Elliot graduated from Wheaton College in 1949. While he was there, he felt God calling him to be a missionary, and he began preparing. He moved to Ecuador in 1952, where he married his wife Elizabeth in 1953. Jim had the desire to reach the hostile Alca tribe in Ecuador with the gospel. Along with four other missionaries and the use of an airplane, he began making contact with that tribe in the fall of 1955. In January 1956, the five missionaries landed on a beach in the jungle and prepared to meet members of the tribe. Despite a positive initial interaction, the five missionaries were killed on January 8, 1956. Their lives and the story has been the subject of many books and films over the years. And thankfully, God was not finished with his plan for the Alca tribe. Some of you might be familiar with this reference, but I will share the rest of the story, as Paul Harvey used to say, at the conclusion of this message. One of my favorite quotes was written in the Journal of Jim Elliot on October 28th, 1949. "He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain that which he cannot lose." I share this story and this quote not just because it is a missionary story, but because the mindset that Jim Elliot had is the mindset that each one of us as believers in Jesus Christ should have for our lives. As we look together at a short passage in the book of 2 Timothy, my prayer is that we would all be encouraged and challenged to give up what we cannot keep, to gain what we cannot lose. One of my favorite aspects of studying the Bible is coming across a passage or a verse that either I haven't noticed before or haven't seen in that particular context. Many of us have experienced reading a passage of Scripture that we've read before, but something new seems to stand out. One of those moments for me happened in the summer of 2024 and is the foundation for this morning's message, now afternoon. I had the opportunity to serve at a camp for missionary kids in Croatia. And as I was reading the devotional passage for the day in preparation for my small group, I continued reading the next couple of verses that came after the passage that was given. And I came across something that made me excited. I am sure I had read these verses before, but they stood out to me in a new way. It caused me to study a bit more, to share what I had learned with the campers there at that camp, then to share it again with our church in Romania, and ultimately to share it here with you. Hopefully, I've made you a little bit curious, but more importantly, I hope that the Holy Spirit will speak through the Word of God as we study together this morning. This passage is three short verses from 2 Timothy chapter 4. Here's what Paul wrote to Timothy near the end of Paul's life in verses 9 to 11 of 2 Timothy chapter 4. "Make every effort to come to me soon. For Demas, having loved this present world, has deserted me and gone to Thessalonica. Crescens has gone to Galatia. Titus to Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Take along Mark and bring him with you, for he is useful to me for service." It was verse 11 and Paul's reference to Mark that excited me and led me to study further. When I read this verse, my mind went back to the book of Acts and to where something had taken place to damage the relationship between Paul and Mark. With this in mind, we're going to turn to the book of Acts for a few minutes to look at what had taken place. We are first introduced to Mark, also known as John Mark, in chapter 12 of Acts. In this passage, Peter is in prison, and a group of Christians has gathered together to pray for his release. An angel comes in the night, releases Peter, and leads him to safety. Verses 11 and 12 of Acts chapter 12 tell us, "When Peter came to himself, he said, 'Now I know for sure that the Lord has sent his angel and rescued me from the hand of Herod and from all that the Jewish people were expecting.' And when he realized this, he went to the house of Mary, the mother of John, who was also called Mark, where many were gathered together and were praying." It was the family home of John Mark where the believers had gathered to pray for Peter's release. At some point after this, John Mark traveled with Paul and Barnabas as they traveled to Jerusalem and then on their first missionary journey. Acts 12:25 says, "And Barnabas and Saul returned when they had fulfilled their mission to Jerusalem, taking along with them John, who was also called Mark." Mark had been included in the earliest missionary journeys of Paul and Barnabas, but something happened along the way. Acts 15:35-40 says, "But Paul and Barnabas stayed in Antioch, teaching and preaching the word of the Lord with many others also. After some days, Paul said to Barnabas, 'Let us return and visit the brothers and sisters in every city in which we proclaimed the word of the Lord and see how they are.' Barnabas wanted to take John, called Mark, along with them also. But Paul was of the opinion that they should not take along with them this man who had deserted them in Pamphylia and had not gone with them to the work. Now it turned into such a sharp disagreement that they separated from one another. And Barnabas took Mark with him and sailed away to Cyprus. But Paul chose Silas and left after being entrusted by the brothers to the grace of the Lord." Because John Mark had not completed a previous missionary journey with Paul and Barnabas, Paul did not want to take Mark along again. He probably felt that he could not trust Mark to stay with them the entire time. Barnabas and Paul disagreed, and Barnabas took his cousin. We were told later in Scripture that Barnabas was Mark. We are not defined by the mistakes that we make. I am sure I am like most of us when I say that I do not like to make mistakes. But I also acknowledge that I dwell on my mistakes more than I should. While our mistakes do have consequences, our identity is not found in our mistakes. We need to learn from our mistakes and to ask for forgiveness when we hurt others. But grace and forgiveness should be what defines our lives, not our mistakes. Mark made a mistake when he abandoned Paul and Barnabas. But Barnabas did not give up on him, and eventually Mark's relationship with Paul was reconciled and restored. God used Mark despite his mistakes. And we have the Gospel of Mark today as a testament to the truth that our mistakes do not define us. My encouragement to anyone here this morning who is being defined by a mistake, may today be the day that you seek forgiveness and move forward in grace and reconciliation. I hope that this story of reconciliation between Paul and Mark is incredibly encouraging to each one of us. Despite not knowing the exact details, we can recognize the magnitude of what that repaired relationship meant and its principle to our own lives. Even more importantly, we can see the connection between their reconciliation and the message of reconciliation that we as Christians are sent to preach. As I reflected on this correlation, I wrote down this thought. Our reconciliation with one another is a reflection of our reconciliation with God. In several passages in the New Testament, the Bible talks about our reconciliation with God through Jesus' sacrifice on the cross. In Romans chapter 5, Paul wrote this: "For while we were still helpless, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. For one will hardly die for a righteous person, though perhaps for the good person someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath of God through him. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only this, but we also celebrate in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation. Through faith in Jesus' death and resurrection, we have been transformed from enemies to sons and daughters, reconciled to God with our relationship restored." In a passage that has become our prayer for the people of Romania, Paul wrote in Colossians chapter 1, "For he rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, forgiveness of sins." The pastor of our sending church in San Diego, David Jeremiah, explains it this way. He says, "The greatest transaction in the history of the world occurred when Jesus, who knew no sin, exchanged his righteousness for humanity's sin, taking it on himself, becoming sin for us. He received what every person really deserved, death on a cross. By faith, sinners receive what he deserved, God's acceptance and eternal life with him." This message of the gospel, this message of reconciliation, is a powerful message. Paul wrote in Romans that the gospel is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. And this is the message that Lisa and I have been called to proclaim in Romania. And many of you in this church know others who have been called to various places around the world to share the gospel. But the beauty of the body of Christ is that each one of us has been given the mission of sharing this truth with those around us, regardless of where we are. In a beautiful passage in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, Paul writes, "If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old things have passed. Behold, new things have come. Now all these things are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Namely, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them. And he has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were making an appeal through us. We beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. He made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him." It is from these verses that I took the title for this message, Reconciled Ambassadors. It is humbling to think that we have been reconciled to God and that he has entrusted to us the ministry of reconciliation in this dark world. He has sent us to be his ambassadors, to share the truth of the gospel with a world that so desperately needs to hear it. My prayer is that each of us this morning would be reminded of this calling and would be challenged to take this ministry of reconciliation, this truth that we can have a restored relationship with God by faith in Christ's complete work on the cross, with us wherever we go. I could finish this message here, have an early lunch, and we would all hopefully be encouraged and prepared to reconcile with those around us and to take the message of the gospel to our friends and to our neighbors. But the unfortunate truth is that there is more to the story and more to the passage in 2 Timothy chapter 4 than just Paul's reconciliation with Mark. Although we have the calling to be ambassadors, to be reconciled to one another, and to live in harmony as the body of Christ, there is a major challenge in the process. And Demas is unfortunately a prime example of that challenge. In 2 Timothy 4, verse 10, Paul wrote, "For Demas, having loved this present world, has deserted me and gone to Thessalonica." Other translations say that Demas in love with this present world. Because of his affection for the temporary attractions of this world, Demas had abandoned Paul and the mission that God had given him. We now have the opposite circumstance as we had with Paul and Timothy. With Paul and John Mark. Demas was a faithful co-laborer with Paul and a trusted minister of the gospel, but he had fallen in love with the things of this world and abandoned both Paul and the ministry of the gospel. As with John Mark, Demas is mentioned by Paul in Colossians and in Philemon. Paul wrote in Colossians, "Luke, the beloved of physician, sends you his greetings, and Demas does also." And in Philemon, Paul referred to Demas as a fellow worker with him, along with Luke and Mark. But somewhere along the way, Demas fell in love with the things of this world. Paul, who had been reconciled with John Mark and is asking Timothy to bring Mark to him because he is useful to the ministry, has been forsaken by Demas. Just as we do not know the details of the reconciliation between Paul and Mark, we also do not know if Demas ever recognized his mistake and returned to serving the Lord. I hope he did, but at the time Paul wrote to Timothy, near the end of Paul's life, Demas had abandoned the mission that God had given him. Unfortunately, I believe this is a danger we all face. We're all faced with temptation and the pull of the things of this world. Revelation chapter 2, written to the church in Ephesus, says this about the church in Ephesus. "I know your deeds and your labor and perseverance, and that you cannot tolerate evil men. And you have put those who call themselves apostles to the test, and they are not, and you found them to be false. And you have perseverance, and have endured on account of my name, and have not grown weary. But I have this against you, that you have left your first love." Despite all of the things that the Ephesians were doing well, their love for the Lord had grown cold. They had allowed their love for the world to impact their love for the Lord. While we are called to love the people in this world, we have to be careful to not fall in love with the things of this world. Our love for the things of this world will negatively impact our love for the Lord. This is a danger and a subtlety of this worldly influence. Brings to mind two powerful verses from the book of Hebrews, chapter 12. The writer of Hebrews says, "Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every obstacle and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." While we were in Romania, I had four different opportunities, three times at different camps and once in a sermon, to share the truth of this passage. As I shared, I used the illustration, a visual illustration, of weights and chains and a backpack full of rocks to demonstrate the way that sin, addiction, and the desires of this world impact our ability to run the race that the Lord has set before us. We can't run a race, or at least not very well, if we are entangled and weighed down by the cares of this world. Instead, we have been given the responsibility of being an ambassador of Christ and charged with sharing the message of reconciliation to a lost and dying world. But when we fall in love with this world and the sin that so easily ensnares us, we are unable to carry out God's mission. Being back in Southern California, there are several things I really appreciate. The California burrito being one of them. But we're also very thankful for the time that we get to share and to spend at our sending church in San Diego, Shadow Mountain. While we were there back in January, I was able to attend one of the men's Bible studies. And the men's Bible study was studying through the book of Philippians. One of the themes of the book of Philippians is joy. And on that particular evening, as we looked at Paul's joy in the midst of imprisonment, because he understood what his mission was, to preach and defend the gospel, the leader of the Bible study shared this as the takeaway for that particular evening. Your mission determines your joy, so commit fully to your mission, no matter the circumstance. We can have joy no matter the circumstances around us if we are committed to following the mission that the Lord has laid before us. The specifics of that mission will look different for each one of us in the different contexts that we're in. But the core of that mission is to go into all the world and make disciples, be ambassadors for Christ, and call others to be reconciled to God. As we consider some personal applications from this message, let's return to 2 Timothy chapter 4. Paul had written, "Make every effort to come to me soon, for Demas, having loved this present world, has deserted me and gone to Thessalonica. Crescens has gone to Galatia, Titus to Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Take along Mark and bring him with you, for he is useful to me for service. But I have sent Tychicus to Ephesus." You may notice that I have added verse 12 this time. I believe that every person here in this room can see themselves represented by one of the individuals mentioned in these verses. Demas is the only one who is mentioned as having deserted Paul, but Crescens, Titus, Tychicus had traveled to other cities, taking the gospel with them. Paul, despite not having many friends around him, had apparently recognized that Tychicus was needed in Ephesus and had sent him there. Luke had remained with Paul, and Paul hoped that Timothy and Mark would soon be able to join him. Some of us may be feeling lonely. Some of us may recognize that God is calling us to go somewhere for the sake of the gospel, or to come alongside someone in their ministry. Some of us may be wondering why God is moving in a particular way in this particular time. Or perhaps some of us recognize that we, like Demas, have fallen in love with this present world. Regardless of who we feel like we can relate to from these verses, I firmly believe that God has a plan and a purpose for each one of us. There are different seasons in our lives, and perhaps we don't understand the reason for the season that we are in. But we can trust that God does, and that he has a purpose in all of it. We can trust that his plan is greater than our plans and anything that this world can offer us. Even when the world and the people around us think that we are crazy for following Christ and proclaiming the message of reconciliation, we can joyfully trust that we are accomplishing the mission that God has given us to do. Which brings us back to the quote from Jim Elliot. He is no fool who gives up what he cannot keep to gain that which he cannot lose. When I read these words and consider the reality of how difficult it is to keep my eyes on what God has for me and his mission in the midst of the constant distractions around me, I'm reminded of Jesus' words in Matthew chapter 6. Jesus said, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in or steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." If we truly want to store up treasures, we cannot hold on to the things of this world. We cannot hold on to selfishness, bitterness, regret, addiction, fear, a desire for money or prestige, or any other of the many things that cause us to lose focus on our mission to love the Lord and to make him known to the world around us. There's tremendous power in laying aside everything that we cannot keep, storing our treasures in heaven, and living as ambassadors for our Lord Jesus Christ in the time he has given us here on this earth. So before I conclude this message with the rest of the story of what God did in the lives of the Alca tribe in Ecuador, I want to encourage each of us to think of two people that we know. The first is someone who needs to be reconciled to the Lord. Someone who has not placed their faith in Christ, or perhaps someone who has fallen in love with the things of this world and is no longer storing up their treasures in heaven. Maybe this person is a neighbor, a coworker, or a family member. Or perhaps the person coming to mind is you. Whether the truth of God's word is bringing to mind someone who needs to hear this message of reconciliation, or the Holy Spirit is convicting you personally of sin, my prayer is that you would ask the Lord to help you to have the conversations that you need to have. The second person I want to encourage us to think about is someone with whom we need to be or wish to be reconciled. Perhaps there are broken relationships that need to be mended. Perhaps the example of Paul and John Mark has brought someone to mind this morning. And the Holy Spirit is prompting us to reach out and to seek reconciliation. My prayer is that we would listen to that prompting from the Holy Spirit and pray for the courage to follow through this week. As we have these two, or maybe even more names in mind, I want to challenge each of us to carefully examine our own lives, to see the things that are distracting us and keeping us from serving the Lord in the capacity he's called us to serve. I recognize in my own life that I am regularly convicted of areas that are distracting me, or ways I'm allowing the world to influence me rather than me influencing the world. God uses his word, scripture, to convict and challenge and encourage us. And my prayer is that we would allow the Holy Spirit to show us the areas of our lives that need to be realigned with the truth of God's word. The good news and the bad news is that this is not an easy process. It is a lifelong process of surrendering to the Lord's will for our lives and being committed to his ministry and mission of reconciliation. Jim Elliot wrote, "One does not surrender a life in an instant. That which is lifelong can only be surrendered in a lifetime." And this is what led him and four other missionaries, Nate Saint, Ed McCauley, Peter Fleming, and Roger Udarian, to go to the Alca tribe in Ecuador, and ultimately to give up their lives in a desire to see the Alcas reached with the hope of the gospel. But their death was not the end of the story that God was writing. Despite what had happened, Nate Saint's sister Rachel and Jim Elliot's wife Elizabeth then went and lived with the tribe, sharing the gospel and teaching them to read and to write. Many in the tribe put their faith in Christ, including a man named Minkaye, who had been the one who had killed Nate Saint. Nate Saint, the pilot of the airplane and a missionary with Missionary Aviation Fellowship, had a son named Steve. Steve began visiting his Aunt Rachel in the tribe when he was 9 years old. Minkaye, knowing that he had killed Steve's father, adopted Steve as his tribal son. In his testimony, this is what Minkaye wrote. "When I killed Steve's father, I didn't know better. No one told us that he had come to show us God's trail. My heart was black and sick in sin, but I heard that God sent his own son, his blood dripping and dripping. He washed my heart clean." When Steve was 14, he was baptized in the same river where his father was killed. And Minkaye was the man who baptized him. Steve Saint said, "I have never forgotten the pain and the heartache of losing my dad. I have known Minkaye since I was a little boy when he took me under his wing. He was one of my dearest friends in the world. Yes, he killed my father, but he loved me and my family. What Minkaye and his tribesmen meant for evil, God used for good. Given the chance to rewrite the story, I would not be willing to change it." Nate Saint forgave the man who killed his father. And this story has impacted thousands of people around the world. The world may think and will think that it is foolish to live life forgiving others, forsaking the things of this world, and faithfully proclaiming the truth of the gospel with anyone and everyone. But may we remember the words of Jim Elliot and allow these words and the truth of Scripture to lead us out into the world, to share the hope that we have in Christ, and to be his reconciled ambassadors, calling others to be reconciled to God. He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain that which he cannot lose. Let's pray. Lord, I am thankful for the truth of Scripture, the truth that you have given us as to your love for each of us, the love that caused Jesus to go to the cross, to sacrifice his life so that we can be reconciled. I pray for Remnant as a church. I thank you for the light that they are in this community. I pray that you would encourage each person here, each person who is watching online. Lord, I pray that you would encourage them to continue to walk out the mission that you have called each of them to walk. You know each individual story here, the lives around each person here, the friends, the family members, the co-workers who need to hear the truth of the gospel. I pray that you would help each person here to recognize their call to be an ambassador, and that you would give them the courage to go forth and to share this truth anywhere and everywhere. I also pray for the relationships that are represented by each person here. Lord, you know if there are those who are struggling with conflict, desiring reconciliation. Lord, I pray that you would open the doors for conversations, that you would help them to have the courage to forgive and to open the door for the reconciliation that you desire. Lord, I pray that each of us would recognize the ways in which we are constantly distracted from the call that you have given us. In a world full of distractions, I pray that we would fix our eyes on you, that we would remember who you have called us to be, and that we would go forth, that we would recognize our mission, and that nothing would be more important. I thank you for this morning, this afternoon, this time of fellowship and worship. I pray that you would guide us and direct us in the week to come. Lead us to the people who need to hear the truth and give us the courage to share it. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Light of the world. You've been listening to a presentation of Remnant. For more information, visit us at remnantchurchonline.com. You